What a special treat I have for you on the podcast today. Today, for the first time, I am interviewing one of my clients that has gone through the Ambitious and Balanced program. Yes, that's my three-month group coaching program that basically takes all of the strategies and tips that I teach right here on the podcast, and I put it into a three-month program. And so Mallory Young has come onto the podcast to chat with me about her experience. If you've been wondering if this is really the right program for you, if you're a good fit, and what really takes place inside the Ambitious and Balanced group coaching program, this episode is going to be for you. Mallory's going to talk a lot about where she was at when she started the program, the feelings of failure, the thoughts of failure that she was having all of the time, the radical shifts that took place during the three-month program, and then what has happened since then. It's such a great story. You're not going to want to miss it. You ready, working moms? Let's get to it. Welcome to the Ambitious and Balanced Working Moms Podcast, your go-to resource for integrating your career ambitions with life as a mom. I'm distilling down thousands of coaching conversations I've had with working moms just like you, along with my own personal experience as a mom of two, and sharing the most effective tools and strategies to help you quickly feel calm, confident, and in control of your ambitious working mom life. You ready? Let's get to it. All right, working moms, I have a real treat for you. For the first time ever, I don't know if Mallory really realizes this, but for the first time, I am having somebody that has been a part of my Ambitious and Balanced group coaching program come onto this podcast and share her experience with us of the group. She was in my very first cohort that started back last fall, back in October. It ended at the end of January. And here she is to talk all about her experience. I'm so grateful that she's here. Thank you, Mallory, for being here.
Yes. Hello. Thank you for having me, Rebecca. I did not know I was the first of the cohort. So excited to share.
You are. I know. So tell us a little bit about yourself, just so we have some concept of who you are and your family and your kids, what you do and stuff like that.
Yeah. Mallory Young. I am currently out of Northern Virginia. I've lived here about 7 years with my husband, and we have two young boys. We have an almost four-year-old in June and a just turned one-year-old. And I work from home, actually. I'm a designer. And yeah, life is as fun and a little chaotic, but it is really good.
A lot chaotic. One in four. One in four is some, you know, that's in the trenches on some level.
Yes,
so.
Yes. Every day is a fun new adventure.
Yeah, so good. Well, I'm excited to hear what you have to say, to share, you know, your experience with the listeners. Like, our goal here for you out there is to just give you a sense, a flavor of what joining Ambitious and Balanced would be like for you, to get a sense of the kind of, you know, women that come into this program, the things that they learn, what they walk away with, their experience, their wins, you know. And so we're going to hear all of that here today. So Mallory, can you just paint a picture for us of what life was like before you started Ambitious and Balanced? Like, what were some of like the challenges or the frustrations that you were kind of dealing with that even led you to even consider this in the first place?
Yeah, for sure. So like I said, I currently have a just turned one-year-old. So when this kind of started off back in the fall, I had only been back to work for a few months at that time. Mm-hmm. I'm sure folks can remember like coming back from leave, like my brain stopped working, like it was very, very slow at that point. My baby was not sleeping through the night, which, you know, like adds some fun new things onto it. My toddler was still very much getting used to having a little brother who is like starting to move around and steal things. And then on top of that, like work was work, always, you know, kind of up and downs. And so I feel like, you know, regular work is, I'm fine and used to it, but coming back from, you know, leave and with kind of this new family life, it was definitely like, okay, like what is happening again? Like, this is a little bit crazy. Yeah. And even reflecting back, like, I feel like I constantly had expectations of myself that I was constantly failing at, like comparing post parental leave to children Mallory to, you know, even 9 months earlier, like at work, I was a completely different person, just because you know, you're a different person and that's okay. And I was not okay with that with myself. And so I feel like I was just constantly like failing these expectations of how I should be at work and how I should be at home, you know, with my kids, with my partner. And so it was just a little bit just like constant failing all of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. That internal dialogue was super negative for you. And how were you clued into that at the time?
No, I was not. I feel like I kept on telling myself like, oh, this is the new normal. Like this is just what life is post baby. And I feel like it wasn't really until I had the time to reflect. And I think also as like, you know, working woman, at least for me, like just a lot of internalized like shame around that decision. Like I love my job. I love being a parent. I actually come from a family of six girls and I'm the only one that has ever like sent my kids to daycare and worked. So I think, you know, coming
like family expectations.
Yes. And, and it's one of those, yeah. Like, I don't think anybody ever judged me, but I kind of like internalized that like there was judgments over that choice, but like, I love the decisions that I made, but it was very hard to kind of grapple with internally and be okay with, which again, everybody was fine with except for me, maybe.
Yeah. We work on three things, right? In this program, the three C's, we talk about clarity, clarifying your priorities. We talk about confidence, which is kind of what we're talking about here. It's like that internal self-talk. And then we talk about control, like controlling your time and your calendar and your commitments and all the things. And so I love watching women see, you know, their life looks great on the outside and yet things aren't great. And when we really start to dig into it, the recognition of how impactful your mind is and that self-talk and that like talk track that you have about yourself, right, is everything when it comes to work-life balance. Like your doesn't matter how amazing your life is on the outside. If on the inside you are berating yourself and you are feeling like you're failing everybody all the time and your expectations are, you know, misaligned to whatever it is, when you have that shame and that guilt and I'm not doing enough and I'm not good enough and I'm failing everyone and I'm not a good mom, like that's your kind of, even if it's on the subtle, it's on the subconscious level, right? Even if it's subtle, like that is going to create an immense amount of imbalance and havoc in your life, right?
Yeah, for sure. And even thinking back before our sessions together, I feel like, you know, when I did feel those, like it stayed with me for a long time too, where it was like, just like, I was like, oh my gosh, I snapped at my kids and like ruined, like honestly, my whole night. And I'm like, I'm a bad mom. No, you know, mother who loves their children does this. And I feel like it just like lingered with me for a lot of time. And so I think we can get into that of like, using tools, helping. Yes, we're human. Some of those things happen.
I have a feeling as we're going to talk about this journey through this program, like a lot of this was the shift of all of this stuff going on internally, right? Because again, on the outside, things were pretty good.
Yeah.
Good job, great husband, good kids, all the things, you know, it's just how you were perceiving it on the inside that really needed to shift. So what made you ultimately decide to join this program? Even if there were some hesitations or doubts, or maybe there wasn't, I don't know. What made you decide?
Yeah, for sure. Initially, the reason why this kind of came up, like you were not on my radar at all, to be quite honest. And I was talking to my manager who has actually gone through your coaching and talking about all of this, just like, man, I'm really struggling with work. Like I'm struggling kind of balancing like these two kids. She was like, oh, do I have someone that you should connect with and kind of talk about? And so she immediately was like, you should check this out. It could like, it helped me. It's been a really great resource. And I remember like our first kickoff call, one of the things that was like in my mind, I was like, I don't know, Rebecca, like, I feel like none of this is that like, no offense. I feel like none of this is that groundbreaking, right? Like you just like learn to do
it. It's no rocket science here, right?
Exactly. And I remember you being like, yes, it's not, but like, I can teach you the shortcuts to get there. Like you don't have to do this by yourself. Like I know what works because I've done it with, you know, hundreds of women. Like I have the recipe. Yes, you can find it out by yourself. And many people have, but like, you also don't need to do it yourself. And I think like, I am all for like, I don't want to think too hard if I don't need to. Like, perfect. Yes. Like, teach me the way. I will happily do this. And so I think it was definitely
shortcuts.
Shortcuts. And like, why not? Like, at the end of the day, this, I doubt anything in this will like make my life harder or worse. Like, if anything, it will stay neutral. And like, if any benefit comes out of it, like, that will be perfect, you know, like all the better.
Oh, little did you know, Mallory. Little did you know. It's true. I mean, I think sometimes I struggle with this sometimes myself. Like I sometimes I think I'm teaching things that feel so obvious or so basic. Even I've been teaching them for years and years and years now. So sometimes I have to come back and remember how revolutionary it is to actually put these things into practice. Like I can tell you what it takes to prioritize. You probably already know. It's going to take saying no, and it's going to take putting up better boundaries, and you're going to need to prioritize yourself, and you're going to have to, you know, manage competing priorities, and you're going to, I mean,
yeah,
it's not, if you really like stopped and thought about it and took just even 10 minutes to write down probably what you have to do to create a life that feels more balanced, right? It isn't rocket science, but actually doing it is a whole nother story, right? It's like implementation of it is everything, right? And which is why this program is so short, to be honest, 3 months. Like I really did think about how fast can I get you to implement, right? How fast can I get you to do that? What are the tools I need to teach you to do it quickly?
Yeah.
And I'm 3 months, like women are feeling way better within weeks. You even, we were just talking about that, like even just making the investment of time and energy and resources and all the things, all of a sudden something clicked in you, right? Like you made a commitment in a different way.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it was also like, yes to all of that. And I think like you just like kind of like another person giving me permission to like say no. Like I remember one of the things that was like, and that you had mentioned in one of our calls that was instead of everything being like every ask is an automatic yes, it was like every ask should be an automatic no unless it meets like XYZ criteria. And it's like, oh, you're right. Like I can say no. Like every request does not mean like, yes, I will do it no matter what. It's like, actually, no, like I cannot meet that or somebody else needs to tap in. I think just like giving myself permission was something I would probably never come to by myself. But yeah, just having you be like, you know, a third party person, like, hey, you don't have to do all of these things. Like, oh, that is a good point. I do not. Like, I'm an adult. Things don't work, and that's okay.
I love it. I love it. So can you share like a breakthrough moment that you had during the program? You know, maybe it was like a mindset shift or a tool or an action or something like that, that you stands out to you as a, you know, a big part of this process for you.
Yeah. And I think like when I was thinking on this, two things like came immediately to mind. And I think the first is like something I still struggle with, to be honest. And we have talked about this a lot is like the work to home transition. And again, like feeling of all these guilts, typically what happens is, like I said, I work from home. My husband gets our kids from daycare and brings them home. So while I'm finishing up my day, I can hear my kids like, you know, banging on the door, crying for mama. And I'm like, oh my gosh, why am I at work? Like I'm missing out so much time. Again, my husband is perfectly capable, but I think like the guilt of like, why did I choose this for myself while I'm prioritizing, you know, work over my family? And so I think a lot of guilt was like coming into play.
Yeah. It's hard not to have that guilt. Yeah. I mean, like just, we normalize that. Literally, if your kid is knocking on the door and you're like, I can't pay attention to you, I have to finish this thing at work. It literally feels like you're choosing work over your family.
Yeah.
Because you are.
Yes, exactly.
but rather than internalizing that as a negative thing, right? Like we're working to not internalize it in that way and to shift the way we think about that and the whole zoom out, see the whole picture, what's going on. It doesn't mean you're a bad mom, all the things, right? But literally that's how it felt like. So yeah, keep going.
Yeah, totally. And I feel like like something we talked about is like, what are ways like even like drowning out the noise, like physically, like I put in my headphones, I jam out to music. So I'm like, I'm trying to like, I need to just focus on this. Sometimes it just takes like 5 minutes. I'm like, I just need to finish all of my work so everything in my head can be out. And so when I am with my kids, I can 100% be with my kids instead of like, oh, I forgot to do that. Like, let me quickly write that down so I don't like forget that, you know? And so I think, yeah, the work from home transition of like taking the time to like actually close out my day instead of, oh, my kids are home. That means my work is done. But it's like, I get to decide when my work day is done. And I think another thing that we talked about as well, like similar to this is like visualizing kind of like how the day will go. As we mentioned, I have a 1-year-old and a 3-year-old, very energetic all the time. So it's like, okay, I know we're going to be playing Paw Patrol at dinner. How do I react to this? Because I do not like playing Paw Patrol at dinner, but I know that is the best way to get my 4-year-old to eat. Like, okay, I know there's going to be like a lot of emotional outbursts because it's Thursday and we are ready for the weekend. Like, how do I deal with that? And I think, again, just taking the time to like ground myself and like, this is my reality and like help me be better prepared for those moments. Like that all along with the work to home transition, like helped a ton. And again, like simple things, just like, yep, closing out my to-do list, like dotting my I's, crossing my T's, and then just like taking a moment to be like, okay, I am now finished with work. I am going, instead of just like walking downstairs, like I am physically and mentally transitioning from one to the other.
Yeah. Yeah. That, and this work to home transition is one of the two kind of anchor practices that I teach in this program, right? Again, I am not about wanting to give homework for homework's sake and like inundate you with a whole bunch of content. Like we're working moms. We don't have time for any of that. So I got so many tools I can give. And yet I really have boiled it down to two really imperative practices if you're going to create sustainable work-life balance. And you've been talking about one of them, which is the work to home transition and how important that moment is, that transition moment is for us as moms to feel like we did good at our job and we were valuable and we achieved and we were successful. And then to like close that down and to context switch on some level into family life and to kind of re-engage our mind in a different way to show up and be present with them. Like this moment is everything, right? And when you learn how to master this moment and do it well, you're going to open yourself up to feeling so much better about your work and feeling like you can actually be present and be writer if you want to be writer in Paw Patrol.
I do not.
Dinner,
no, thank
whatever
you.
Character you want to be.
Yeah.
I don't know, Marshall, I don't know which one is your favorite, but you can actually be present and like, and on some level, enjoy some of those moments or a lot of the time, hopefully enjoy those moments, right?
For sure. So,
I love it. I love it. But I love that practice, which we literally practiced every day. And we got everybody getting in this habit of like, this is what we do, this transition. I walk you through exactly how to do it. Like, I love that was such an anchoring practice for you.
Yeah. And like I said, that was like definitely one of those like, wow, this is what it could be like. Like, it's not just walking right into chaos. It's like taking a moment even to recognize that I am walking into chaos. Like, even just that acceptance, I feel like is such a big thing too.
Yes. Yes. I love that. Love that. So how did you notice yourself changing at work, at home, as a mom, you know, within yourself kind of throughout this program?
Yeah. I think like a lot of it is like there was a lot of pattern recognizing in myself. And I think like I can just like recognize my triggers a lot more and like kind of understand how I respond to triggers, which again, is like, I've never taken the time to do that reflection before. So I think that was like super, super valuable. Like some of my, you know, big triggers that actually came into head during our program and like still continues to be, my youngest has actually had a number of like breathing problems. And we've actually like been in the hospital multiple times with him just in the past few months. Like, again, very kind of like high stress environments. And even just like, okay, I know it's a trigger when I'm trying to balance a young child at home, you know, that wants to like throw himself down the stairs every 2 minutes or, you know, needs to be held during a nap because he's a baby and also like working. And I feel like those are like, that is a repetitive thing that it happens more time than I would like to admit because, you know, he's in daycare and he's a year and still getting his immune system up. But I think again, just like being able to recognize the pattern that's like, this is how I deal with that stress. Like, I know immediately when that happens, like, I know what I should do with my calendar. I know who I need to inform. And like, I just have a checklist of like, okay, when Lewis is sick, I review my calendar. I move all of these meetings. I know I'm going to be unable to talk. So I'm going to like hand off my working notes to this person to be able to communicate. And I just feel like so much more well-prepared. Like at the end of the day, yes, I'm still trying to work and I still have a young kiddo at home. And like, sometimes that goes great. And other times I'm like sitting on the couch for 8 hours. So I'm like, you know, that's fine too. But I think just like understanding how I react. And then also similar to that, like, you know, when I have these stressors that happen multiple days in a row, being able to be like, oh, I'm getting a headache, which is like my clue that like I am being burned out and like I am being stressed. So it's like, yes, that works for 1 day or 2 days, but like, hey, now I recognize like, even if my kid is at daycare, like I now need a day, like I'm going to be working a half day or taking a full day off so like I can recover or else I am like not going to be very productive at work. And so I think those have been like, just like able to recognize that pattern has like been super helpful for me. And even like another one is like, I was mentioning like Paw Patrol at dinner. I detest that. Like I am not into imaginative to play as much as my four-year-old is. And I feel like, again, as we were talking about just like giving yourself permission to do things, like I don't like doing that. So I don't anymore. And I'm like, my husband is really great at that. Like I will sit and enjoy their banter where, yeah, one is Ryder, one is Marshall. They're rescuing, you know, Chickaletta who's something, done whatever. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, I do like that is not my thing as a parent and that's okay. And I think again, leading to like previously a lot of guilt of like, this just makes me very frustrated. Like eat your dang dinner. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Instead of like, this is, you know, how we do it. And so instead of approaching that with just like frustration, just like it's a dinner and a show and that is okay. Like I will focus on, you know, like, okay, in between rescues here, take a bite of your sandwich or like, you know, whatever else. And I can just like enjoy it instead of, I feel like being stressed about like, this is not time to play. It's time to eat. And it's like, he's four. Like that's what he does. And that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think just like, yeah, a lot of pattern recognition and just a lot of like acceptance of like, this is what we're in right now. And that's like, okay.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I mean, we can't do anything about changing patterns. We can't change habits. We can't change thought patterns. We can't change mindsets. We can't change the way we're talking about ourselves. We can't change the way we're feeling unless we have awareness,
yes,
to exactly what it is, right? And on some level, if you take a step back, you could probably self-identify a handful of things, but to really recognize like when I think this and I feel this way, I do this. And when I do this, this leads to feeling burned out. This leads to me being unhappy. This leads to me snapping at my kids. This leads me to saying yes to too many things. Like this leads me to overworking. When you understand those patterns, and we do a lot of pattern identification on some level in this program, right? And then being able to like come and say, what do I do about the pattern?
Yeah.
You know, like what do I see it? I know that this is a problem, but what do I do? Like that's the sweet spot of this program is teaching you what to do, right? But until you know what it is and see all the connections between it, you're kind of in the dark, right? There's nothing you can do about changing it.
Yeah. And I think like, especially like relating back to work, I think again, with like, you're unable to do anything unless you recognize it and also vocalize it. Even today, somebody was like, hey, can you do XYZ by next week? And I was like, I can't. Like you can prioritize. And they were like, oh, no problem. Like I can take this from you. And it's like, great. That's even better. You know? And it's like, if I hadn't vocalized
what?
That. Yeah.
You
it's
said
like,
no, oh, that- and then somebody else did it.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's one of those things that's like, you know, at work, at least we're all adults, maybe not at home life. But you know, it's like, if we share those things, nobody can kind of like help us, get to where we need to be. And so just being able to, yes, recognize, vocalize it, and then, you know, either, you know, a few different options could occur. And this one, like best case is like, okay, like I can do that. Like give me X, Y, Z and I'll be happy to do it. Like, great. Perfect. That works even better for me.
So good. So good. I love it. How about the self-talk? Since we started by talking a lot about like the negativity and I'm failing all the time. Like how did you, if you were to start thinking about your progression through the program and how your self-talk changed, like how would you describe that?
Yeah. And I think like thinking through the pivot cycle, like one of the steps, I guess you could say, is like the normalization. And I feel like that was a lot of, because again, it was like, oh, a lot of the shame was like, I should be doing this. I should be doing that. And it's like, no, what I'm doing is fine. And like, this works for me. So I think like, even just like the normalization has helped with a lot of that self-talk that's like, oh, you know, I feel bad because I'm a working parent and I send my kids to daycare and I still work from home. Like sometimes, you know, that can feel kind of weird. But it's like, no, like this works for me and I enjoy this and that's normal and that's okay. And it's also okay to feel guilty that like, yes, my kids are home and I'm not able to be with them. And like, that's an okay feeling. Like it does not need to impact me any more than just like, man, sometimes this sucks. I wish I could spend time with them, but like, give me 30 minutes and I'll be able to. And so I think just like some of that normalization, even at like that base level, helped me so much with just like, this is fine to feel this way. Like it's maybe not a positive feeling, but it's also fine to like feel bad about things. And that doesn't mean that I'm a bad person.
Yeah. 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 And all throughout the time, you know, our 3 months together, we were just normalizing. You'd identify a pattern, you'd come to the call, you'd talk about it, and we'd normalize it.
Yes.
We'd be like, why are you, you don't need to judge yourself for that. You don't need to feel bad for that. Like, it's okay. It's okay for you to do you. It's okay for you to think the way you think. It's okay for you to live life the way you want to live, right? And again, we come back to like so many societal, cultural, familial kind of expectations that are put on us that we don't even realize we're sort of living by somebody else's rules until we take the time to like identify our own rules and recognize how we're not really aligned to those and then stop and kind of pivot out of that, right?
Yeah. And I think like that also was a big benefit of being in a group setting for this is because like, yes, I know how I think, or, you know, once I took the time to recognize how I think, now I know how I think. But again, I think like that's not something we externalize very often, except like, you know, if this was like a one-on-one coaching with you, obviously, but just to hear from other ladies as well, that's like, yes, I totally like that is me exactly. And I think just like the feeling of not being alone also helped with that normalization a lot as well, where it was, we're all kind of figuring this out and we're all, you know, flavors of the same issues. And I think that was like definitely a benefit from like the group setting to be able to hear from one another and like really to know that like, I'm not unique in this. Like this is a kind of larger problem that people are dealing with.
I think sometimes people are a little bit afraid of groups, a group setting. I think there's a fear of vulnerability. There's a fear that you're not maybe going to get out of it. It's not going to be personal enough. I mean, what was your experience on both of those fronts in a group setting?
Yeah. And I will say like traditionally in group settings, I am very quiet. Like I'm like, I don't want to be the one to break the silence. But I feel like I was the opposite maybe on this. Like oftentimes I was like, no one's going to say anything. Like I will say something. But yeah, I think it was definitely a little bit scary to share, like, because some of these are very personal. And yeah, you're sharing why you feel like you're failing. And that's never like a very fun thing. But again, I think like the more that we did and kind of like the more support, especially for like those 3 months where it's like, oh yes, like remember you talked about this or so-and-so talked about this a few weeks ago. Like, you know, we're bringing this all together. I think all of that helped a lot to just like everyone could kind of be like, oh yes, or even share resources. Like I remember, you know, sharing like, oh, like even children's books. It's like, this has helped. Like, I know you're struggling with this. I have also struggled with that. Like, this is what we're doing. And I think
it's like crowdsourcing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think
crowdsource it.
And like I said, I think it can be intimidating, but I never felt intimidated by like the women on the call. Like everyone came very like approachable and kind of like, you know, we're all kind of willing to do this together. And I think that was like, it was great.
Yeah. 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 And did you feel like there was enough personalization within the program, or what was your experience with that?
Yeah, no, totally. I feel like sometimes I'm like, this is too personal. Like, whoa, 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 Rebecca. Like, we don't need to go into the ins and outs. No, I'm just kidding. No, I think it was, especially like, I feel like we took the chance, especially like later on, to just be like, we're like a round robin. It's like, okay, what can we help you with right here? And again, some of the things that I would bring up, I was like, this is me specifically. And other people like, oh yes, like 100%, or another person would share. So it was interesting where it was like very individual, where like you and I would be having a conversation, but again, crowdsourcing.
And like everybody's listening into the conversation.
And even like chiming in, that's like, oh, I have something similar, or like, this is what's helped me. And so, yeah, it was like personalization, but able to like get additional outside sources instead of just like a one-on-one.
Yeah. Yeah. And to your point, you said this before, it's like, if you and I are having a conversation, somebody else is listening in and thinking, oh my gosh, I've totally dealt with that before. And they might even say that, or they'll say it in the chat, or, you know, you say the same thing as somebody else is talking to me and getting coached on something specific. You're like, oh my gosh, I totally relate to that, right? That feeling of, and that's why I think this group is so powerful, is literally everybody in the group is looking to achieve the same thing using the same process, right? So we're all looking to achieve exactly the same thing, living a priority for free life, having a calm internal state, be more present with our family, feeling successful in all areas of life, like shifting the negative self-talk. Everybody's looking to achieve the same thing, going through the same process. Of course, there's going to be a lot of similarities to how people are feeling and patterns that are similar, or responses. Like, it's normal.
Yes.
And I think, you know, for us as women, it just is so interesting to me that we have such a strong, like, I should be able to do this on my own, this like very fierce, independent type of like, I should be superwoman, super mom in handling this. And when we kind of get out of that and we allow ourselves to be in a group state like this, like you just, it's so empowering. It's empowering from the moment you're all together, you know?
Yes. Yeah. And I think like a really lovely thing that comes out of it as well is like over the 3 months to be able to see other folks' growth as well. Like I remember someone being like, I put the kids down and I know this doesn't sound like it, but I deep cleaned my closet and it was like so satisfying. And, you know, all of us were like, oh, that is such a good feeling. Like, oh my goodness, you know, and be able to like share like small wins and like, hey, I got this promotion. Like I was really stressed about it. This happened. I'm so excited. And be able to like share that is just like a fun little cheerleaders of like, yay, like we're doing it. We're all doing it. And it's like really, really satisfying.
I love it. So good. So now now you have some perspective, right? It's been 2 months, full 2 months since we've been done with the program. And so you've had some perspective to like think back about your journey, to think back about what has really like stuck with you and what is different for you. How would you describe life differently now versus September when we were talking before?
Yeah. And like I kind of said at the beginning of the call, like where I started was like constantly feeling like I'm failing at everything. Like everything was like slipping through my fingers and like I wasn't able to grasp or anything. And like for a very tactical example is like I have now been asked like, can I actually take on a more leadership role at the company? Because like I feel so like on top of it. Like I'm able to do this.
You
like
have so much space.
Yeah.
Look
I'm like,
you.
I'm actually ready for a challenge. Like my daily work and present life is not a challenge anymore. And so like I'm actively seeking
you
out.
You never
those.
Thought that back in September.
Right?
Like
exactly.
No way.
Exactly. Yes. No, but really, and I feel like even with my first kid, I feel like it took me like almost a full year back at work to make me feel like myself again. I'm like, I haven't even hit that. And I'm already like itching for be like, bring it on work. Like I can do this. And like, yeah, like me and my husband just took a adults only vacation, which like, again, I would never have thought about like left the kids at home. It's like, this will be great. Like, you know, and I think all these things, I'm just
so
like
good.
So much more willing and like ready for the challenge. Whereas before I felt like daily life was a challenge, you know, and just like having to manage everything because again, everything was so unbalanced and I was feeling myself being pulled in all these directions. But now that like, I feel like just more centered that I'm like, I can like reach a little bit more and get more outside of my comfort zone in my own terms. And that's like, yeah, thinking back to, you know, this fall when we started, it was like, oh, no way would I have ever done either of those things, you know, and those are like really big wins for me.
Oh my gosh. All those things are huge, huge wins. I love it. I love it. I really love the idea of you stepping into leadership at this point. It just shows how much capacity you have, right? Like, and that you had the capacity before, right? That you were like bogged down, right?
Yeah.
We like to think this on some level that somehow things are circumstantially, literally nothing has changed, right? You're still in the same job. You still got the same kids. The whole circumstances are totally different, but what's changed is you've changed and you've increased through kind of honing in on your own patterns and shifting your thoughts and really kind of doubling down on things that you need to show up as the best human, right? You've increased your capacity to take on more, to be more engaged, to do things that really matter to you. Like, this is what it's all about.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it.
Yeah. And like I said, not anything I would have ever considered, even before like having my second kid, but just like life is already a little bit crazy, you know, and like adding another child. And like, even now I'm like, I'm ready for more. Like I'm so, feel so on it. Like, let's just add more to it because I feel like I can handle it.
Yeah, I think that life is already a little bit crazy. I mean, we tend to live as in these beliefs, I think, as working moms. I think we're told them in society, you know, like it's just hard. You know, life is just crazy. Like you're just not going to have any time. Like you're just not, I mean, that's just the way it is. These kinds of very settling, like just deal with it.
Yeah.
This program's about debunking all of that. Stop. No, you can have both. You can have exactly what you want and feel successful at both. It's possible to do that. For some people, that may require a circumstance change, a career change, and things like that. But that's only because you want that, not because you can't create that, right? And so giving yourself like full ownership and permission to live life the way you want to live it and believe that you can have both. It's just like, it's so empowering. So
yeah,
so fun.
Yeah, for sure. And I remember even one of our calls, We kind of went through this exercise that was constant, like, what's the worst that could happen? Like, if you don't do this, then, you know, going through it, it's like worst case scenario. And it's like, is that really so bad? It's like, you know, maybe not. Like, maybe it wouldn't, you know, be that big of an issue. And again, just like debunking all of these, like, this is life critical. And it's like, it's not probably. Like, yes, there are some, but like at the end of the day, like, again, what's the worst of, when you say no, what's the worst that's going to happen?
So good. So what would you say to a woman who's listening, who's been thinking about joining, has been maybe listening for a while, is considered this and is still on the fence?
Yeah, it for sure does not hurt to try. Like, even if, again, I'm a skeptic, and you could see like how much more it's helped me with my life. And again, like, things can get better kind of no matter where you are in life. If you feel like you're crushing it, like, there's probably tricks you can learn. If you feel like you're not, there's a lot of tricks you can learn. and like, yeah, it doesn't hurt to try. Things can only get better.
Things can only get better, right? Don't stay stuck and settled. Don't stay stuck and it's just the way it is. Like, take ownership, go for it. It's possible. And I love that you were a skeptic and you turned success. Turned success. So good. Mallory, thank you so much for being on the podcast and for sharing your experience. Like, it just is so fun to hear your journey, to see your smile, like, to remember where you were at and how far you've come in such a short period of time. It's beautiful.
It's amazing.
I'm so excited for you. I'm so proud of you. Yes. I love it. And I love to see, I can't wait to see what's ahead for you.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me and for letting me join your cohort.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Working moms, you've heard it from Mallory. The next cohort is starting. It is starting May 16th and May 17th. That's our virtual retreat. We're meeting on a Friday night, May 16th, and then we're meeting Saturday morning, May 17th. That's where you're going to learn the whole process, where you are going to learn about the work to home transition that she talked about. We're going to talk about shifting your mind, your mindset, and what that looks like. We're going to dive into some of the core kind of foundational principles of this process, the three C's, and then you're going to learn exactly what you need for the rest of our time together. We'll meet weekly after that for 3 months. There's seven spots available at this point at the time of recording, and I would love to have you be one of them. So please reach out. You can go to www.RebeccaOlsonCoaching.com/ambitious and balanced. That's where you're going to learn all about the dates and all the logistics and all the things. And if you want to have a conversation with me about it first, I did that with Mallory. I did that with a lot of women. If you want to connect, you want to make sure that this, you're the perfect fit for this program, I would love to connect with you. And you can go to the website there as well and do that there. So, all right. Thank you again, Mallory. And until next week, let's get to it. Look, I know you've tried everything. You've blocked your calendar. You wake up early. You're really trying to say no more often. And still, you are feeling overwhelmed. Well, working moms, that is not because you're failing. It's because you've been taught the wrong things about balance. And that's why I am hosting a free live workshop in the coming weeks called Unlearning Balance, 5 Myths That Keep Working Moms Overwhelmed. In just 1 hour, I will walk you through the 5 biggest myths that are keeping smart, ambitious working moms stuck in burnout. And I'll show you exactly what you need to do to create real, sustainable balance. You'll leave feeling clearer, lighter, and more in control with tools you can use right away. This is a workshop you probably didn't even know you needed, and I promise you'll be so glad you came. To snag your seat, you can go to www.ambitiousandbalanced.com/5myths. All right, working moms, I'll see you then, and let's get to it.